Variety of Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew is in Boston with his wife and children. His young girl got into ice skating some years back, and now he has to follow her around the country watching her ice skate. Let this be a lesson to everybody who gets their kids into something. It is a disaster. Do what my folks did. You just get your kids into TV and possibly marijuana. Dr. Bruce was supposed to fill in for Dr. Drew tonight. Dr. Bruce may still show up, although he may not. It's hard to tell. He's spastic. I guarantee he's somewhere between here and Yorba Linda, going at least 93 in the Camry his sister sold him. So he will probably show up here soon. Dr. Bruce, while being a spaz, is quite capable. So he can handle all your addiction medicine questions and emergency medicine and all that good stuff.
You know, sex is not a recreational sport.
Yeah, I know. He looks like Ichabod Crane. He sounds like everyone you ever beat up in high school, but he actually is board certified and quite qualified. And Drew actually thinks he's a smart guy, even though he's so quirky. I can see why his first marriage didn't work out.
Well, right, when was the last time anyone talked to him, Carl?
This evening.
Okay, because I left him a message yesterday. He didn't call me back. That's not like him. I was worried for a moment, but I'm cool now.
I'm saying, no, when I say this evening, I say with a question mark. When's the last time we spoke to him tonight?
Or did we speak to him tonight?
I did not speak to him tonight. Producer Ann is running around like a chicken with her head cut off because we got this great thing over here at K-Rock, which is there is a gate and a buzzer, and there's a note that says, for nighttime service, push the buzzer, and the thing rings, except for nothing rings inside the building. It's a perfect setup. And here's, by the way, what I love about humans and human nature. Producer Ann, who has to dutifully stand outside and wait for cars to pull up because the buzzer doesn't ring inside the building, it's basically a doorbell that's out on the street that doesn't ring into the house. So the person that lives in the house has to stand out in the street and then run back and forth because the phone rings inside the house and do all this. We'll never fix that buzzer. The buzzer's been effed up for at least the year that I've been here, and I keep telling Ann, get the stupid buzzer fixed or tell somebody to fix the buzzer. That way you could sit inside like a human being, and when Dr. Bruce pulled up 10 minutes late and rings the buzzer, you could buzz him in. Nope, she's out in the street right now waiting for him to come along. So she's doing that. Dr. Spaz is hopefully on his way. Anderson, you say you called him when?
Yesterday afternoon, and I left him a message, and he's pretty good about getting back to me.
Uh-oh.
I remember thinking today, well, where's Bruce?
Now I'm starting to worry a little bit because he's accident prone. He could easily be impaled on something right now, bleeding to death, and with vultures circling overhead, and we wouldn't know it.
He's a doctor. He can fix himself.
All right. Well, that's true. Emergency medicine. If he's not in here in the next 8 to 12 minutes, I'm officially going to begin worrying. But anyway, that just leaves the Ace Man tonight. Lucky you. We'll cut through all the crap. A couple of other things. Dylan Walsh from Nip Tuck, who was supposed to be our guest in here tonight, is not here tonight because their taping went late or something like that. So he's Nick's for tonight. So it is really just me and the most important co-partner of the show, which is you, the caller. Yes, Engineer Chris? Yeah, he said right. Now, here's the thing.
Exactly.
I would like to just nod, please. Just nod. Okay.
Next time I will.
Don't shut the mic. Shut the mic off. Is right. Push the mic. Push the mic to the side. Hit yourself in the head with the mic. Hit. Okay. Thank you. We will take calls tonight on home improvement as well as maybe sprinkling of automotive questions because I'm not going to be able to handle these boring Dr. Drew calls. And we'll talk about relationships. We'll talk about psychology and a sprinkling of the medical stuff. But throw in a few home improvement questions tonight because if I'm going to sit here for 2 hours, I'm going to need some home improvement questions. We need to get to my wheelhouse. All right. Let's start off by talking to Bo, who's 20. Bo?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Sin City. parents didn't like that idea, so about the time I turned 17, they moved to Utah. Mm-hmm. Now, I was raised in a really religious family, and I'm worried about whether or not I should... Well, actually, I'm asking you whether I should be worrying about this.
Are you a Mormon?
Well, yeah, but should I worry about telling them about my sexuality?
Mm-hmm. What is... Well, you should if it's anything other than heterosexual. What is it?
Well, I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Right. And we're a big family. 7 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my sister are the only ones that don't really go to church no more. Mm-hmm. And,
You didn't go to English class either.
I wouldn't really even think about it, but, I mean, when I'm visiting my parents around the holidays and stuff, like, when there's a commercial that maybe has a suggestion that has anything to do other than heterosexual, my mom gets this disgusted look on her face, so it's almost I see her aiming that at me because, you know,
Hold on, Dylan, quit yapping. Well, first off, what happened with the bisexuality? You get molested? Somebody screw around with you? You get diddled at a young age? Camp counselor? Something like that?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of.
Just straight bisexual.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun. And, are you sure you're not just gay? I mean, most guys I know that are bisexual were just basically in transition to being gay. The bi part of bisexual is saying bi to heterosexuality and, hello to homo.
Huh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I plan on marrying a woman.
You do?
But I want her to be a swinger.
Really?
Yeah.
what happened? What happened to you? Growing up in Vegas, like...
A lot of crazy stuff goes on out there, I guess.
No, I mean,
I didn't get hard into drugs or anything like that, and beat up on or anything like that.
Well, what's up with you, though? You're bisexual, you want your wife to be a swinger, all this, and just a normal environment? You just grew up in a normal family?
Well, I guess for the most part it's normal if you consider going to church every Sunday and then having a family night on a Monday and being involved in some sports and a band in middle school. I guess that's all normal.
All right, here's the whole thing with the sexuality. You don't live at home, right?
Right, I moved out when I was 17.
All right.
Well, I guess there is one thing that happened. That's even why my parents are, like, worrying about it, is because when I was 17, I was involved in an FBI investigation or whatever.
Why?
I was actually at somebody's house that was committing fraud over the Internet.
Oh, all right, that's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Here's the whole thing. Dr. Bruce has just slinked into the studio, but... Here's the thing, Bo.
Yeah.
You don't need to announce
your personal opinion. I don't care if it's you know it's
all right. Quiet down. You don't need to announce your sexuality to your parents. You really don't. At a certain point,
I've had anal sex and passed out a couple times.
Bruce, the mic's hot. Your mic's been hot the whole time. At a certain point, if push comes to shove, and you're 33, and your mom wants to know why you've never been married, and where are my grandkids. Then go ahead and possibly pipe up and tell her about your bisexuality. But at age 20, you're living out of the house. Your parents don't need to know your sexual proclivity.
Is this
and
conservative
don't
Christian?
Wanna know.
Conservative Christian family?
I think they're Mormon or Christian or something. Don't burden them. And by the way, I don't think that everyone needs to know everything. I really don't. As a parent. If I had some 20-year-old that was bisexual, I don't need to know all the details. I want them to be happy. I want them to be safe. Hopefully one day they'll settle down, get married, and crank out some grandkids. But what they're doing in their 20s and who they're doing it with, as long as they're wearing the condom, don't need to know about it. And when you really insist on telling your parents, I wonder what your motivation is.
Well, is it a drama queen or is it...
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what's the matter? Bruce, what happened? Where are you, buddy? What's going on? You showed up late tonight. What's going on? You're really spazzing out. Chris, is Dr. Bruce is spazzier than he normally is, right?
Right.
What's up, Bruce? You high?
No.
All right. Just running late?
Just vitamins.
Are you okay?
You're on vitamin. What, you take some niacin or something?
No.
You run. What's up? You're not going
to
stab me or anything, are you? Look,
I'll
I don't
avoid
care if you show up. You can leave now. I don't need you. It's just, how much national radio do you actually do where you can waltz in 9.5 minutes late? Yeah, that's right. 9.5 minutes.
Not much.
All right. How's your sister's Camry working out?
Hey, that's a fine car.
I've been offered
great trades on it.
I'm sure.
It just has an appeal to certain people.
Oh, no. Chicks dig a Camry.
Yeah. It implies that you're stable.
Yeah. Four-door.
You're supporting somebody.
Six-cylinder automatic. They love it.
The four-cylinder is much better than the six. Actually, higher resale.
Really?
Yes. I know more about Camrys than you do. That's probably the only car
I really find it hard to believe that the four-cylinder is higher resale than the six.
It is. It's a workhorse.
I know. I don't believe you. I'm calling you a liar. I'm telling you I know.
I checked in the blue book. It's actually. I'll bet you.
All right. Forget about it. Get on the internet and we'll find out.
All right.
I bet you $20.
$20, that's all?
$20. $20. Same mileage, same year, same everything.
I'll bet you $100.
All right. Same mileage, same everything, right?
Same mileage, same everything.
I mean, it's got to be the same car. It's got to be the same year. It's got to be the same everything, right?
Same car, same year.
You're saying the fours are going higher. Look, Dr. Bruce just pulled out a crisp $100 bill. And by the way, not from his wallet. He just pulled it right out of his crotch. Were you dancing tonight?
That's what it
Chris,
is.
Chris, look at that. You ever seen a $100 bill before?
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't know they went that high.
That's pretty cool.
Chris thought they went... I asked him once. He said he thought the highest denomination was they went up to like 87. He had idea that he made it to 100.
They call him dead presidents, but Ben Franklin's on this. He's not a dead president.
Oh, I didn't even know he wasn't president. All right, we're gonna bet $100 with Dr. Bruce that now again, here's the whole thing: the Kelley Blue Book doesn't mean anything. What means something is the auto trader, the recycler, people selling them. Oh, hold on a second. Let me just address this. God bless you for bringing this up on Loveline, because this is the kind of topics we got to get into. But here's the thing. Everybody wants to talk blue book. High blue book, low blue book. Here's what the blue book is. The blue book, it's like a blue book on your house. You can have somebody appraise your house till the cows come home. Ultimately, can you find a buyer at $700,000 or $500,000 or $1 million? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what the house is worth. And your car, what it's worth is what you see them in the recycler, in the auto trader, online, eBay, that kind of thing. Kelley Blue Book is usually fat. It's usually a little bit high, or it gives you a window, you know, $6,500 to $10,000.
Of course, I checked the Kelley Blue Book, and it is higher than that, so that's why I pulled $100 out so fast.
All right. Well, we'll get on the internet, and we'll look for it. I can't imagine that the four-cylinder goes for more. Anyway, Dr. Bruce is here, board-certified. He's taking a multivitamin. He did not put the product in his hair, which usually guarantees a good show. He's going with the dry look tonight, which always means trouble. All right, you ready to rock here?
I'm ready.
All right, let's talk to. I'm just going down the line here. We'll talk to Michelle, who's 16. Michelle.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
I was just wondering about how I can get into the radio business and journalism and stuff like that, because I know you're, like, the coolest person right now.
Yeah, smoke detector. All right, we're going to need to focus on that. First, I need to pace your smoke detector, so it went off about
13. Yeah, it goes off a lot. I don't even hear it anymore.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Why don't you replace the battery?
Go.
Because that's my dad's job. Oh.
Went off about 1322, and it usually goes off between 30 and 35 seconds. So I'm looking for something any second now. Let's just focus. There we go. Okay, that went off at 57 and then 32. So it's at 35 seconds. Through doing Loveline, I know how it's probably the Coleman Smokebuster series. Now I've become obsessed. I have to track it and time.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, don't talk, baby doll. It's going to go off. It should go off at 32. Just a little, 31 or 32, are you right? 5, 4, 3, 2, oh, okay, 30. Okay.
That's pretty amazing.
Attack. All right, I'm going to, yeah, it's about 34 seconds. So it should go off at 15:04, according to our
countdown. I got 33.
Plan. You got 33?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can nail this one. We're going to keep you on all night until I actually nail it. Wait, I'm a little bit early. All right, here we go. Let's see. I got to go to 59. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. All right.
Still off 2 seconds.
No, that was not 2 seconds off.
Sorry.
Jackass. All right, here's the point. Is this in your room or is it in the hallway?
There is one in my room, but I don't actually know if it's the one. Like, there's one in the hall. There's, like, one everywhere. I don't know.
Okay, how long has this been going off?
Since we've been here.
Oh,
it's just like
okay. Well, you guys, let me go ahead and check your lease agreement. You guys moved in. It says 9/26/03. Hold on, let me pull that paperwork up. Oh, hold on a second. First off, Michelle is stupid enough to be in radio. This could just work. I love that answer. How long has it been going on
since
we've been here? Mm-hmm. By the way, if anyone wants to know why I flirt with driving off a freeway overpass every night on the way home, it's those kinds of answers. This is why I have such disdain for our callers. But secondly, I've said it many times, the smoke detector every 30 seconds, and it's loud over the phone. If you were in the small apartment and that thing was chirping, I would have an epileptic seizure after 10 minutes. The point is this would drive a reptile insane. Do you understand that if you had, like, a snake in an aquarium, it would eat its own tail and kill itself because of that goddamn smoke detector? And these people who call our show actually go to sleep in the bedroom that it's in and have an amazing ability to eventually tune it out, which is what you would just have to do, otherwise you go insane.
Correlation with abuse, I guarantee.
Really?
Must be.
Michelle?
Yeah.
Were you ever abused?
Yeah, maybe like 3 times.
Who did it?
There's this guy at my church, and like, I guess I was like maybe 4 or 5, I guess. And then there's another, the second one was a girl, but that only happened once. But the one guy, it happened like numerous of times, and it stopped, and I was like,
sexual abuse.
Maybe 8. Maybe.
All right, have you ever got any counseling?
No.
All right. 20, 54.
So, right. Michelle, it may seem strange we're drawing a correlation of abuse very annoying stimulus.
You have to be able to tune things out.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, and by the way, this is abuse, by the way. Dad not changing the goddamn battery and the smoke detector. Would you tell your stupid no-count dad to get up on a chair and change his stupid battery?
Yeah, sure.
Or why don't you just unhook it? If you're going to live dangerously anyway.
Because
the chances of your father changing the battery after I don't know how many years. Probably.
Okay, it went right at 54.
That's pretty amazing.
That's all I do is track smoke detectors on this show. As a matter of fact, if you don't have a smoke detector with a low battery chirp, don't bother calling.
Don't call Loveline.
All right,
now,
so
would you tell Michelle,
I'll tell you how to get a radio. Go to a radio station and intern. Answer the phones. Drive the vans. Just get there and show up. That's how you get into radio. Forget about all the broadcast classes and communication degrees. Forget about all that stuff. Go to the radio station, get to the radio station, start volunteering at the radio station. Next thing you know, you're answering phones, you're driving the van, and you're producing the morning show. All right?
Thanks.
All right. Good times.
Amazing.
It's an interesting subject, Bruce, which is the ability for human beings to tune out the outside world. These are the people who smell the high heaven and never know it. These are the guys driving around with the Space Saver spare tire on their car, and they're going on month 13. They're able, once something is, it becomes part of the landscape, and they have zero ability to change. They won't enact any change. They tune it out, and I argue at that point you're more animal than human being.
Well, or frequently at a very...
impressionable age, as in this case, this person's had abuse. But if something happens that's traumatic in an impressionable age, people tend to try and establish that kind of a pattern, that kind of pattern of chaos in their life.
Right.
So.
Right. But good times. Hmm. I would take a mop handle, that thing. I would go insane. Yeah, and then I would take the mop handle to my dad for not changing the 9-volt.
Well, they designed that to be an annoying sound, one that you're not going to be able to put up with.
They had no idea. I mean, here's the whole thing. Like, I wonder, like, I would like to, they must have, like, a smoke detecting manufacturers conference that goes on every year. I'm sure it's a lot of exciting guys wearing clip-on ties. I would like to show up and speak to this group and go, you know that super high, loud, annoying decibel chirp sound that the thing makes every 29 seconds or so when the battery goes low? Not enough!
Useless.
We have people who are going on 9 months of that chirp without changing the battery. You understand? Here's what's going to have to happen. It is going to have to actually start a small fire in order to get... ironically, it needs to burst into flames. Because half the people in the country will not change the battery based on the loud, audible chirp that goes off every 30 seconds for the rest of their life. They will tune it out like animals.
I thought a subliminal message coming out of the thing would be the only...
No, it must like spray sulfur gas into the room. It must be something that makes your eyes water that you actually have to like put a bag over your head and reach up and change a thing because they won't. And the other thing about smoke detectors is everyone's whole thing is like, you got to put them up on the ceiling. You've got to put them on the ceiling. They go on the ceiling because that's where all the smoke goes. Well, here's the problem. You can't reach stuff on the ceiling. And most idiots, once it's anything that's out of their reach, it ain't happening. Light bulb goes out. Smoke detector goes out. There's a roach on the ceiling. You can't reach it. You can't get to it. You can't do anything about it. Now, a monkey can figure out to slide a chair over if you put a banana on a string, but not half the people in this country. So it's out of reach. I would say, why not put the thing down the wall 2 feet and just put it on the wall?
Yeah. You know which I mean? In the instructions, which I've read many times, they tell you can do that.
Yeah, at least that way you can get to it. And then here's the other problem, quite honestly. Nobody has 9-volt batteries lying around the house. Everyone has the AA, the C's, and triple. They have the stuff for the flashlight. They have the stuff for the Walkman. You know, they have the stuff for the games and the toys and stuff like that. But they don't have the 9-volt they're sitting around. And I believe that's a deal breaker for half the people.
I have them sitting around. You can test speakers with them.
Listen. Hey, put them on your tongue.
They're the least used.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Dr. Bruce over here knows everything about smoke detectors. Knight has a barrel of 9-volt batteries, yet can't make the national radio show on time. Fascinating dichotomy. Mm. Sure, that name a cologne after you.
What would that be?
Tardy.
You had your fun.
All right. We got to take a break. I like this call. I like Ann over here is 25. She's 32 years old. She's been in a coma for 33 days. Ann?
Hi.
Ann, if that smoke detector had been going off in the hospital room that you were in, you would have gotten up out of your coma or possibly still in your coma and changed your battery.
No, we change our batteries here.
Smart. Smart.
So her boyfriend's been in a coma 33 days.
Oh, her boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm not in a coma. I'm here.
Oh, he would have gotten up and changed it. How was he put in a coma?
He rides a bicycle in downtown L.A. for his job. And on May 21st, so it's been about 34 days or so. On May 21st, he was on his way home from downtown L.A. to our house in East L.A. and was going through a controlled intersection and was hit by an elderly man who went through the intersection. He wears his helmet every day, but this day he was not wearing it. He was hit. He came up onto the windshield, shattered the windshield, came off of the car, and the man pushed him, not dragged him, but pushed him through the intersection. How many feet or yards is not known. He admittedly said he didn't break. But he broke his tibia. He has a C-spine fracture. And he had, at the beginning, what they thought was some minor bleeding in the brain, which progressed severely over the next few days after the accident. Mm-hmm. And he was in a coma. At first, it was medically induced. They had him on Penobarb.
Why do they, for the brain swelling, Bruce? Is that why they medically induced the coma?
Right.
Could you do that for me? Hold on a second. Dr. Bruce is out of town. I mean, Dr. Drew is out of town for a week.
So when he comes back...
No, I see some long nights ahead of me. Could you just medically induce a coma for me?
I think the show might be a disaster.
I don't think it would hurt it much.
Nobody noticed.
Yeah, just cart me home. Once I got my car down the street and go in the right direction, I could probably make it home.
You probably could.
All right, so get the drugs to medically induce a coma for me. Hold on a second, Ann. We got to take a break. We're running a little bit late. Dr. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew, board certified. He knows emergency medicine. Much better than Drew. He knows addiction medicine. He knows how to remove tattoos with lasers. He's really much more than meets the eye or ear or tongue on occasion.
Much more accurate.
All right, Ann, hang on a second. We'll get back to the boyfriend in the coma all after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Who's chasing his daughter to Boston, who's chasing her Olympic dreams. Every time I hear about one of these stories, you know, when Drew's like, my daughter's, she's going to Paris, and her and a group, they're going ice skating, they're going to Paris for 10 days. I'm like, well, hold on, where's my dad? Where's his nutsack? I got to put my knee into his nutsack.
She's quite a skater. I can't believe this.
That's what I hear. But it's trouble, as I was saying at the top of the show. Because now what happens? They get progressively better. They get more into it. Next thing you know, there's tournaments. Next thing you know, there's travel. You're choting them around. You're getting them up early. You're taking them in for rehearsal and practice. Drew's wife was telling me the skates were like $300 right. bucks a pop.
And the lessons.
And I didn't even know, like, I didn't know anybody who owned their own ass when I was younger, and I think it was harder to have stuff back then. Like, if you had, you didn't own your own bowling ball, you didn't own your own ice skates, bowling shoes, like everything. Like, if you had a mini bike or something, maybe you wore a football helmet. You didn't even have a motorcycle helmet. Like, stuff had to do double duty. Like, if you wanted to go out dirt bike riding, put on a football helmet, put on some gardening gloves, and put on some hockey catcher shin guards. You know, you didn't have dedicated equipment to dedicated stuff. And if you had your own hockey skates, your own bowling ball, you must be professional.
Right.
There's no two ways about it.
Not today.
I think stuff is a lot cheaper and a lot easier, and people have their own ass. I mean, growing up, people had their own mitts.
Right.
Some people had some cleats. And once in a while, a guy had a bat and a football and possibly basketball. But that's about as far as it got.
Yeah.
Nobody had like if you had your own pool cue, you were a hustler.
Oh, well,
you had
no
to be professional.
I had my own golf clubs, but they were terrible. They were hand-me-downs.
You had golf clubs.
Yeah.
That was another. I grew up, my neighbor, Tony Truex was his name, had his own golf clubs. And I was like 10, and he must have been 40, you know, and he used to sit in his backyard and chip. And I remember he had a couple of trophies and stuff like that. And my thing was like, he must be on the tour. Like, he's got the he's got the shoes. He's got the clubs. He's a pro. Or he's just some eccentric millionaire for some reason decided to live in a crappy house in North Hollywood. But how could anyone possibly have their own golf clubs, I remember thinking.
Yeah.
And stuff was more expensive, and I think my loser family talked me out of anyone owning anything like that. So it was considered extravagant for people to have their own stuff. So you just sort of, well, we're not the Carnegies. We can't be getting into that.
No.
But you had your own golf clubs when you were a kid?
Yeah.
How old?
12.
Really?
They're my uncle's hand-me-down.
Where did you play golf at 12?
Long Island.
You go golfing?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Bethpage Park, the black course.
Who took you?
Oh, we'd get one of the dads to cart us all down.
Really?
That was
12?
Great.
12?
Oh, yeah. You get in a foursome with a couple of old guys. They'd be drunk by about the third hole and telling you dirty jokes.
Really?
And then we get thrown off. One of our friends, he'd always swim in the water hazards.
Why they call it the black course, the Schwartzes?
No, actually, Bethpage, the Black Horse is a very famous course, and it wasn't in that great a shape when I was a teenager, but mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, they had a PGA on it. So, good old
golf, I didn't know people under 30 could even golf. Like, I didn't even know it was legal. I didn't know what do you do? Who takes you? How does this work?
Well, in the 60s, a lot of high schools started having a golf team.
Yeah, I think our high school had a golf team, too, but it was always shrouded in mystery. It was like the Skull and Bones Club over at Harvard. Was at Yale, whichever one it was. I didn't know any, but it's like, these guys, they seem to have their own clubs. Some of them have their own cars. They drive somewhere and go play golf. I don't even, you know, obviously there's no golf course in the schoolyard. It was just weird mystery. Strange rich kids from the hills come down. I think they're students here. I could never figure out what they were doing or what they were doing.
Range? Just, you know, you start with the driving range. Everybody used to go
there. I got thrown off a driving range. I kept shanking them into the tennis court. But no, I'd go on the driving range and rent the driver.
Right.
And just bash the ass out of a bucket of balls. And I kept shanking them into the tennis court, which was next to the driving range. And the manager came out and he stood behind me and he said, if you put another one into the tennis court, you're going to have to leave. And he watched me tee it up and put it into the tennis court. And, you know, it was one of these rare exchange, no conversation.
No.
I just looked at him, he looked at me, I handed him the club, and I just quietly, and with dignity, with my head held up, walked out.
And he thought you had the control.
Proudly worked
to do
out.
It on your purpose.
All right. Anne, who is 25, says her, bike messenger boyfriend has been in a coma for 30-some-odd days. Is he out of the coma now? Oh, it's a medically induced coma.
No, not anymore.
No, not anymore.
No,
did he ever regain consciousness?
Never.
Or did they immediately?
No, from the time he was admitted, he was out. And they put him on the Pentobarb about maybe 30 hours after he was admitted, and they took him off the Pentobarb. Right. They kept him on it for about 23 days.
That's the medically induced.
That's a long time.
Coma. That's what I was told, too. But they had to because his ICP was climbing so high.
Bless you.
Is that insane clown posse?
Yeah.
Intracranial pressure.
Oh. Okay, but
let me
ask this. And Anne is now, seems like she's become a nurse based on the tribulations of her boyfriend. But what's the difference in how your body reacts and you being unconscious for a number of days and then putting you in a coma?
Well, you're decreasing the metabolic rate in the brain, basically. So the
when we put you, so if I was just passed out, I would not be slowed down sufficiently.
No. If you're passed out, I mean, passed out from what?
Why do you put him in a coma when he's already knocked out?
Because you want to decrease metabolism.
And what's the difference between a coma and being knocked out?
That's a very okay. Loss of consciousness, or
right.
People talk about a concussion,
right?
But a concussion is not just loss of consciousness. A concussion can be a neurologic deficit that
right.
occurs without you losing consciousness.
All right, well, you get in a bike accident, you get whacked in the head, you lose consciousness.
Right.
All right, then you go into the hospital, you're still unconscious.
Right.
But they say, we'll put you in a medically induced coma so the brain doesn't swell. Why? You're already unconscious. That's what I'm saying.
Because it's not to do with conscious or unconscious. The point is the skull is a closed cavity. The brain cannot, you can't withstand much swelling before you start to
so
compromise.
So pushing against the walls.
Right. So what happened with this guy, and having been an ER doctor at a trauma center for 2 decades, people come in and you immediately, as quickly as possible, get a brain scan of one sort or another, and if you see this kind of swelling or if you see bleeding
right.
that portends to swelling.
You put them in the medically induced coma so it slows.
You drill a hole in their head. You put in
a
pressure
monitor. To relieve the pressure.
Well, it depends. If they have a focal area of bleeding. Like,
you actually put a hole in the skull, tap it, and essentially put like a, what would be like an oil pressure gauge?
Well, in my boyfriend's case, they did not put like a shank in. They just put what they told me was a bolt just to monitor the pressure. But they
right. You basically, Adam would love it. You get a drill out, a hand drill, and you choose an area
right
back in the back top of the head.
Yeah. Where,
and you drill straight through the skull, through the brain matter, and into the ventricle.
Through the brain matter.
Right.
Wow.
But it's an area where you know you're not, you don't have a major nerve centers, or you're not going to have damage from doing that.
And you just you come to, you speak fluent Cantonese. That's all.
You have an area of fluid, ventricles in the brain that have fluid, so you get the pressure monitor into that. They call it a bolt. They put a bolt in,
right?
Put something on the skin and
relieves the pressure.
No, that's not going to. That's
not.
If you have generalized, swelling, that's not going to relieve the pressure. That's going to tell you what the pressure is.
Yeah, they never drain the fluid out of his brain through like
a shunt or
a venta. What is that term called? Venter lock. I can't remember the name.
That's called a shunt.
Interventricular. I mean, there's shunts. The point is, you either have, if you smash your head on it where your temple is, there's the middle meningeal artery. You can have a.
I'm going into a coma.
You know, before they had brain scanners, they do what you call burr holes. You had this thing that would drill a hole about a half inch in diameter.
Half inch.
And when somebody came in,
hold on. Engineer Chris's brain is only 3/8 wide. You understand? Half inch, the thing would fall out, and you'd have to chase it.
Well, this is fascinating. The old days, when I started doing emergency medicine, when I was a medical student.
Well, what are the chances this is actually going to be fascinating?
Oh, really good.
All right.
Before they had brain scanners, really, which tells you how old I am.
Right.
And I'd hang around as a medical student. If you wanted to see a bad head injury come in, and nowadays, they zoom you down to the brain scanner, you can tell exactly what's happening in the brain.
Right.
If you hit a certain area where there's an artery, and you get a focal area of bleeding and pressure from that artery, well, then if you relieve that single area of pressure, then you've accomplished a lot. In the old days when you didn't have the scanner, they'd have burr holes. You'd have a drill, and it was like a half-inch bit.
How many millimeter bit would it be?
Say about 20 millimeters.
20 millimeters? 25's an inch, you goofball.
I never really.
How can you be doctor? Don't you know the metric system?
Let me finish the fascinating part of the story. In the old days,
you're
going
to get to the fascinating part.
You didn't know where this focal area bleeding was, so they would drill these holes all the way around the skull.
It's like you were looking for oil.
It was. And you'd have to. And the neurosurgeons at that time, they were.
Yeah. Listen, it hurts my teeth. The point is, Ann.
Well, let me tell you why I called, actually.
Is he still in the coma?
He's still in the coma.
Okay.
And the prognosis is very, very serious. They've done several EEG studies, several CT scans, MRIs, and the neuro team from two different hospitals, because he's been in two different hospitals now, have given us the prognosis that he will have no quality of life, absolutely no quality of life.
Mm.
And they're really pushing for us to make a decision. And it's very black and white is what they're doing. Either withdrawal treatment, because he's 100% dependent on the ventilator.
Right. And now, when you say us to make a decision, you're his girlfriend.
I'm his girlfriend, and I'll get to some of the background also on that. Either withdrawal treatment or get him out of an acute hospital into a long-term nursing home. Because right now he's not sick. His vitals are stable. He just has this severe brain injury.
Right.
The thing is that him and I have lived together for almost a little over 3 years, and he's my best friend in the whole world. We never got married, so I have no medical directive or legally. I am being totally excluded from this.
Yeah,
and it's been really difficult now.
Well, how do you get along with his parents?
His family is all from Mexico.
Uh oh.
Now he was raised here, and I'm white, and that was very. Mm-hmm. They were very blunt about their opinions about me being white, and they didn't like that from the get go.
Really?
And they're not hiding it at all.
Into the family.
So he's not very close with his family, and hasn't been since I've known him. Since I've known him, he hasn't.
Okay. Here's the thing. So what's the question?
I wish I knew, is there anything I could do, any resources, any way I could get involved? Because right now, by law, I have no power.
I'm no attorney. I don't think there's anything you can do as the guy's girlfriend. I think if you were married, it'd be a totally different situation. The fact that you cohabitated probably is neither here nor there. If his family was sympathetic to your position and you were like a daughter to them, that would be a different situation. I think you have about as much power as the family will let you have.
Well, and it's not really about power. I don't want any power. I just
I don't mean power. I mean say so. You have about as much as they will let you do that.
I
understand. We got to go to break. Here's what you need to do. You need to find the member of the family that you get along with the best or don't get along with the worst or whatever the case may be. Find the one you're closest to and have a peace offering. Take them out to lunch. Bottle of tequila is always nice, and you can grease their palms.
Let me just ask for one question.
Stop at the ATM. Talk to that person and see if you can use that person to get you into this mix. Don't come at them with, I deserve, or here's what I think. Just say, we both have great love for this person. You'd like to be involved with decision-making. Now.
I just want to tell her one thing.
What?
That she needs to, I just was wondering if she looked into head injury resources, because there are associations that deal just with head injury.
Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
We need to take a break. But look in. She hears you.
Okay. And right. And the social worker is your best friend. You need to team up with the social worker that's bilingual.
All right. We're going to take ourselves they're all bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually that. I think they speak German and English mostly. Look into it.
In the valley.
Out here in L.A. We'll take a quick break. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, and we'll be right back. Buddy, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, who's filming Ice Castles 2 in Boston. He's chasing his daughter's Olympic dreams over there. She's doing some ice skating. He's taking a little vacation. Dr. Bruce, the very capable Dr. Bruce, is filling in, board certified and all that good stuff. It's a quick home improvement call. Or question, although we never really actually, I've begged on this show for 9 years for a home improvement question, and they're always ridiculous, and they're never actual home improvement questions, but Shana may surprise us. It's Shana. You spell Shana, S-H-A-N-A?
No, actually I don't. I spell it S-H-A-I-N-A.
Oh, okay. They were missing the I. What's happening?
They didn't ask me how I spelled it.
Baby doll.
So, Adam, I have this computer armoire, and it's a ready-to-assemble kind of thing, and I stained it with China red, but I was retarded when I started it, and I didn't know that you're supposed to wipe off the stain, and so I have this part that's all goopy, and I'm wondering if I took a rotary sander to it, if it would totally ruin the wood.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You say rotary, but what you really mean is random orbital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, rotary would really eat into it and leave a lot of deep grooves and swirl marks, you know, like a disc sander. I have random orbital sanders, which seem like a rotary sander. And maybe they even call, maybe some people even call them rotary sanders.
It's a little disc sander. It's not like
it's a disc sander, but it's random and orbital rather than just orbital. And meaning it doesn't dig in. It's not like a car buffer.
Right.
It's one of the best tools to be invented in the last 10 years. that wouldn't hurt. You could also just take a medium-grade steel wool and some paint thinner or some lacquer thinner and just go at it.
Well, it's water-based, so I don't think I can put any thinner on it.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Just get some steel wool and a little lacquer thinner.
It sounds like she left it on for so long that it probably
it's dry. Deeper,
it's dry, but you want to lighten it up.
Yeah. I just want to get it off of there so I can redo it.
All right, here's the thing. You bought the thing. It's a computer stand. You bought it at, like, IKEA or something, or one of these nude furniture places.
Something like that.
Here's the thing. I'm sure it has a very thin veneer oak or ash or
it's,
or
I think pine. Some of it's alder and some of it's beech.
Oh, she knows her
it's
wood.
It's not bad. It's nice.
Yeah, it's
alder. Solid wood.
Yeah, the alder is probably the solid part, but I guarantee the larger panels.
The sod is alder, and then the rest is beech.
I guarantee the beech or the solid panels are very thin veneer, and if you sand them, you risk cutting into that veneer. That veneer sometimes is like a 32nd of an inch thick or 60th.
Right, that's what I'm worried
thick.
About. But it's I think this part should be pretty thick because it's the sides. It's like the main.
Yeah.
I have no word.
Okay. It can also just be edge banding, which is, again, very thin. You'd be surprised at what you think is solid wood is not solid wood. In fact, it's particle board or plywood or multi-ply or something like that with a very thin, and when I say thin, I mean like a almost paper-thin veneer of the actual hard wood over the top of it. And if you start sanding into it, you immediately cut through that veneer and get into the particle board, and it looks like fried hell. That's why I'm saying stay away. Plus, the ladies shouldn't be handling the hand tools unless, or the power tools, unless, Shayna?
I have some experience.
Are you a lesbian, though?
No.
You don't have experience?
I'm holding a daughter in my...
All right, so you don't have experience going down on a woman.
How does she know the wood so well? That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how she knows the wood so well.
Were you building guitars or what?
I used to work in a home improvement store.
Oh. All right. And what happened? They threw you out for speaking English?
I live in Oregon.
Oh, okay. It's different than out
here. We're all white.
I see, yeah. Hit the Home Depot
there,
out here.
There's a couple Mexicans, see how they treat you. But they work at the Taco Bell.
They're good people. Here's the point. Here's the point. Get the paint thinner, get the lacquer thinner, get the steel wool, and go at it. If it doesn't work, call me back. We'll talk about sanding. Dr. Bruce in the hizzy tonight. Looking good, buddy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, buddy, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, everybody. Dr. Drew is... In Boston. Hey, Anderson, maybe before the night's over, we hear a little Dr. Drew boogie or shuffle.
Since we can't play that one anymore.
Why not?
Because I made a new one as well, but there's too many a-holes in it, unless I go through and clean it up, which I should probably do sometime, but we're not supposed to say that word anymore. Hey!
All right. Safe harbor, buddy.
This is a medical show.
That's right.
That is another term for the...
Rectum. All right. Dr. Bruce, in for Dr. Drew, board certified, yada, 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 yada. Let me say this. Got an appointment at the Hollywood DMV tomorrow to get the license renewed. And by the way, I know I've been complaining a lot about the city of Hollywood. You want to talk about Dawn of the Dead. Pull into the Hollywood DMV. You won't even know where you are. You'll have no... I guarantee if I blindfolded you and just drove you into the Hollywood DMV and just took the blindfold off and you couldn't see any signs in English or anything, you would have no idea what country you were in. You wouldn't know what part of the world you were in. Just a crazy hodgepodge of screwy nationalities and everyone just bumping into each other in one big long line and a whole bunch of fat people chewing gum giving you the stink eye behind the counter. Like, it is crazy. But please, people, do yourselves a favor. Swing by the Hollywood DMV and see if you can see anything you recognize.
That's what's wonderful about America. The melting pot.
Yeah, it is. It is good times over there.
Hey, Corolla.
Yeah.
Guess what I'm doing tomorrow?
Getting your license renewed?
Exact same thing. Yeah, once every 5 years. What are the chances?
Hollywood DMV?
Negative. No.
Oh.
I picked a Thousand Oaks one.
I'll tell you what the chances are. The chances aren't as slim as you think because this is my third try. The first two times I went in there, I looked around, I got so depressed, I just turned around and left.
You
got
to do it online. I have somebody do it for you.
Yeah, I got an assistant, but she's busy.
At least make the appointment online. It was cake.
Yeah, she made the appointment for me, and I'm going to go down there, and you got to take the picture.
And 15 questions. Good luck.
And 15 questions. Really?
I think so.
Oh, really? You got to take the... But you don't... I don't have to take the written test, do I?
Yeah, you got to take the written.
Oh, you do?
It's like 15 or 25 questions.
Oh, you better study.
Better bone up. Yeah. I used to teach traffic school. I bet a lot of that it'll come back to me.
My favorite one, they have like the left turning arrow, and it's circled and crossed out, and they ask you what it means. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. Well, I am now, I have now driven through 3,200 red left turn arrows, by the way, when the signal is green. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When the light's green and the arrow says red and everyone's just camped there like retards, I actually pull around them and turn left in front of them. I will not sit for any of those red arrows. And I urge everyone within the sound of my voice to ignore those red left turn arrows when it's safe to turn left and when the light is green, and just act like a human being. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone drive through them. That's all I do is drive through them. There's nothing more liberating. I drive through the left red arrows, and I drive through the occasional right arrow, too. And just drive through them. If you can make it, go ahead and make it. There's no problem with it. The signal's green. It's green, just like it is in the signal behind it and the signal in front of it. Just go ahead and do it. Everyone, please do it. Now, here's the thing. You got to make sure no cars are coming, just like you do when you turn left normally in a signal
right.
that doesn't have an arrow. But ignore the arrow. It's awesome. It's liberating. You stop. You look around for cops. I don't even stop anymore. I just blow through it. And if I get a ticket tonight, I'll still be way ahead of the game. Just drive through them. Just drive through them. Everybody drive through them.
Please. How long does it take to get road rage in L.A.? I took driver's ed in New York City, and it was much less harrowing an experience than being an experienced driver in L.A.
Now, L.A. is L.A.'s got to be the worst place to drive in the world. It's more congested, and there's more cops handing out more chicken-ass tickets than any place in the United States. And there's more ridiculous left-turn arrows where you just sit there. At Culver City, where the studio is, you just sit there and wait to be carjacked or T-boned the whole evening. Meanwhile, the street is so straight and so long, you actually see the earth starting to curve. You see the horizon in front of you before you see headlights coming. But no, you're going to just sit there like a retard waiting for the signal to cycle again. Turn. Everybody just turn.
I agree.
Just do it. Just go. You don't have the balls. I do it every single time. Every single time. Every time. And everyone should do it, too. Here's what you do. You stop. You look around. You don't see any cops. You turn. That's it. That's exactly how you do it. And I've done it so many thousands of times now that I'm so far ahead of the game that if I ever get a ticket, I don't even care.
Right. Right.
And still, I've saved hours and days of sitting there waiting for the stupid signal to cycle like an idiot. Come on, people. We're not lemmings. Do your thing. Get off your lazy ass and do it. Hey, they told Rosa Parks to get to the back of the bus. What did she do? Did she do it because the man told her to do it? Yeah. No, she didn't. You do the same with the left arrow. And if we all do it, they'll never be able to enforce the rule. So just do it.
You get a call from the FCC tomorrow.
That's all I do. That's all I do. Any cop? Go ahead, write me a ticket. It's all I do. I'll go out in my car and look for arrows just to turn left through them. I'm that scary a guy. I'm that much of a badass, Bruce. I'm like Jesse James. I'm an outlaw.
You are. That's true.
Yeah. Except for instead of a car, I got a horse. And instead of a six shooter, I got a six string. Oh wait, that's Bon Jovi. That's right.
What's that little miniature car that?
That's all I do is drive through left turns.
Yeah.
That's just drive through red arrows.
Okay.
That's all I do. Maggie?
Mm-hmm.
You're 16?
Yeah.
Your dad was verbally abusive?
Yeah, first of all, my boyfriend just left and told me that he'd be angry if I didn't say that you're his God.
Well, thank you. And he could make me happy if he drove through some of those red left turn arrows.
He does.
But again, I don't want to get sued. Here's the thing. You got to make sure there's no cars coming, just like you do at every other intersection. And then here's what you do. Here's a fun little game. Hold your hand up. All right. Here's what I want to do. Hold your hand up and block the arrow out. Just hold your hand up. Or put the sun visor down.
Yes.
Put it in front of the arrow. Now.
You can't see it.
Now you can't see it. Now what do you see? Well, you see a green light and you see no oncoming traffic.
You just
so what do you do?
You go.
That's what you do. Put a little piece of tape on your windshield right where that arrow lines up and just block it out. That's it. And then you just drive like an adult. You just turn like a mature adult who knows the laws and can figure it out. And by the way, if we can't be trusted, what's to stop us from just pointing our car toward a brick wall and flooring it?
The morons with the cell phones are what worry me.
All right.
Okay.
Maggie?
Yeah?
Good. God bless your boyfriend.
What's he do for a living? I'm just curious.
Your dad or boyfriend?
Boyfriend. The one that you're his god.
He's 17, so he's a box jockey.
Yeah, doesn't do anything.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he lifts boxes off of one shelf and mails them. Puts them onto different shelves.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about your dad?
He's a lawyer.
No. What's
really?
What's...
Sorry.
And your dad's verbally abusive?
Yeah, he's... Like, he doesn't... I don't know if you'd call it verbally abusive. He's just really scary when he's angry.
Yeah. Some guys have that, they got that going.
he like turns colors and he screams and he throws things and it's not
all right.
Fun.
Well, try not to piss him off.
Okay.
I try.
Has he ever hit you or thrown something at you?
He throws things at me, but he has very bad aim.
Okay. And when did that start? How old were you when you first?
I don't know. Probably when my mom left around 8. Like, she didn't leave. She divorced him. She was like, by
the way. Are you living with him then?
I have split custody.
Split custody. All right, Maggie, you're going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to head off
secondary.
Pardon me?
Yeah, high school.
It's secondary.
Post-secondary.
What is that?
College and school.
Is that high school?
College
what is post-secondary?
In high school?
I don't know. What is it?
All right,
Maggie's gone.
No, she's not gone. The phone lines crap in and out. Maggie.
Yeah.
What's post-secondary?
It's taking college classes while you're in high school.
You take college classes when you're in high school. All right. Here's college prep. Okay, here's the thing. It's hard to talk your parents out of stuff. One thing you can't do is dance with them. You know, they start yelling at you. You start yelling back. That's not going to work. I mean, don't start. If they start tugging one direction, don't start tugging the other direction. Here's your goal, especially when you're 15 plus. In terms of age, you have an a-hole parent. Your job is to lay low, stay out of their crosshairs, and get your grades up and go far away to some college one day, and then have a lesbian relationship and
right.
freak them out.
That's what's going to happen.
Bring shame and dishonor to the family.
But listening to Maggie, she's got sort of a timid voice, and what she's describing is she has a verbally abusive parent, and whether the abuse is physical or verbal, once you have your boundaries violated, then mm-hmm. what tends to happen, people like this tend to be gravitating towards men mm-hmm. that have the same traits, or else they are so fearful of men that they are afraid of intimacy. So
right.
knowing, and even knowing that isn't going to avoid those things from happening. So it's really important to engage with a very good therapist and do short-term goal-oriented therapy, 6
mm-hmm.
months or so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you see a therapist, as the old Jewish doctor joke went with the enema, couldn't hoit kind of thing. But if you can't find your way to therapy, you get involved with school and you get involved with the volleyball team and the band and that thing, and then when you come home you tell your dad you love him and you go to your room and you watch TV and you study.
Yeah, and that's all.
Yeah, you're not going to change the guy. I'm sorry.
Absolutely, you're not going to change the guy. But a lot of kids ask the question, a lot of teenagers ask the question, well, how do I know if I've been abused? If it's not physical, then they feel that, well, he just yells at me, just throws stuff, he never hits me.
Right.
But when you have that feeling of fear,
right,
and you start to have your adrenaline going off,
right,
and you have that emotional arousal with it, that does portend. That sets you up for problems with relationships with the whatever.
I knew I could kick my dad's ass when I was 9.
Hmm.
How old were you when you knew you could beat your dad up, or can you?
I'm still not sure.
Still not sure?
He's
a fireman, right?
He was in the New York Fire Department 40 years.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Knew a lot of those guys that went down in the building.
My dad, I knew I could kick his scrawny ass when I was about 9. 8.5 or 9.
Your dad's such a gentleman. Okay.
Yeah. Marcus right. of Queensberry. Katie?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have no interest in having sex with my boyfriend at all. Mm-hmm. We haven't had sex, like, in the past 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
He's always wanting to have sex with me, but I'm just never in the mood at all.
Mm-hmm. Are you angry at him for any reason?
No, not at all. He's like a really nice guy, but we've been dating for a year now, so.
Nice guy.
Yeah, and I always have dreams about like having sex with other guys, and he's like never in them.
Do you think you want a bad boy, and maybe this guy's a little too good, and he's not floating your boat?
He is a really good guy. The guy I dated before was, like, a real bad guy. Well, no.
Yeah.
He was a bad guy.
No, but I don't mean, you know, pedophile, axe murderer. I just mean...
No, not that.
I mean a little bit of a rebel. Look, let's face it. 21-year-old chicks like a guy with a little edge. That's why Dr. Bruce got 0 in the poontang department.
How old's your boyfriend?
And continues not to be a big draw.
He's 21.
Okay, and he's a nice guy. And you hang out, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I have to.
Me?
Yeah.
How far into the relationship did you start having sex?
I'm sorry for cutting you off. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I have to.
So I can...
But, you know, here's what happens. They get hooked up with a troublemaker. The troublemaker is not a criminal, but he ends up cheating on him, or he doesn't treat him as well as he could or whatever. They break up with the guy, and they say, I want a nice guy. I want a good guy. I want a guy who's going to treat me right. They do find that guy, and they start getting bored because there's no excitement. There's no allure in it. And then they get turned off sexually, and they shut down, and they start looking at the guy as a friend or a family member.
Well, that's one dynamic. But the other dynamic is if two people are attracted physically, they get into a sexual relationship before they've established intimacy, then they're gonna one of them's going to get tired of the sex. And
no,
it's usually the woman.
Oh, sure. How dare you.
I bet.
And by the way, it's not usually the woman. It's usually the guy.
Well,
I mean, when they have when you have sex on the first date or the second date, it's the guy who is done at,
right.
at week
well,
number
true.
Six.
Not but it can go either way. I bet Katie and her boyfriend started having sex early on in the relationship.
You bet nothing. What about it, Katie?
Well, when we first started dating, well, we've been dating for a year, but like when we first started, we had sex like every other day. And now the past, I want to say 6 months, it's been like we've probably had sex like maybe 3-4 times.
How soon after you started dating him did you have sex?
Like, right away.
Okay. So one of the things that can happen.
No, but that's
one of the things that can happen in a relationship.
Of your degree and slapped with a glove.
Once you start having sex in a relationship, then you turn a switch in the brain and you tend to focus on the sexual part of your partner.
So she's not 14.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, she shut down to him, goofball.
It doesn't matter who shut down to
him. No,
who.
She looks at the guy.
She's not interested in him anymore.
She's
you'd
not
agree
interested.
With that.
She's not interested.
It's over.
Not because they got it on the second date. She's not interested in the guy because she's a young woman and he's a nice guy and he's a little clingy.
Well, we've been friends for like 5 years.
Yes, and he was always into you.
Yeah, and I always ended up breaking up with him when we dated in the past.
Right. And he gets clingy, and you know what clingy does to a woman? It's like taking liquid nitrogen and dumping it into the vagina.
Absolutely.
Flash freezes it. You get a vaginesicle out of that. It actually freezes it, and you could hit it with a ball peen hammer, and the vagina would shatter. You have to pick the pieces off of the ground. It flash freezes the vagina. Do you understand
me? It's a very concrete example.
When the guys get clingy, it is dumping liquid nitrogen
into the vagina. If they hadn't started having
literally dumping liquid nitrogen into the vagina.
Can you apologize
literally.
For interrupting me multiple times?
All right.
So all I'm saying is, if they hadn't started having sex so early on, she would have figured out she wasn't so attracted to him, wouldn't have had sex, and they would have been over a long time.
Oh, shut up with your stupid Christian values. Go shoot some Botox into some fat Beverly Hills broad with your Christian values. How dare you barge into my studio with your retarded moral
You're
compass.
A concrete thinker. You're not paying attention to the abstract nature of my observations, but that's okay.
Listen, I talk to the kids. And the kids respect me. How dare you?
The boxers and the metal workers.
Here's the point. It's not because they hadn't started having sex early. This guy has always been hovering around. This guy, you know what he's like? He's like one of those pilot fish that hang around the shark when they're feeding, looking for little scraps and morsels. He's always dug her. He's
right.
always been around. She gets hooked up with the bad boy, gets her heart broken, goes to the convenient relationship with him, but then gets bored again and goes back to the bad boy. She's just not into this guy
exactly.
like he's into her. It has nothing to do with when they became, how soon they became intimate. It has everything to do with her not being into him and never really. Now, some people are sort of weak, and women oftentimes do this, which is some relationship, even if it's not the one they want, is good, is better than no relationship. And that's what she's doing. You shouldn't do that. You take advantage of people, you can hurt them. This guy's going to be hurt when she dumps him. She should dump him. You're not having sex with him, not because your sex life or your libido is whatever. You're not into him. That's why you're not having sex with him. Break up with him.
Right. I agree. But I'm not saying from a moral standpoint they shouldn't have had sex. I'm saying when people if she had spent 3 months just dating the guy, she would have realized, I'm not even attracted to this
guy. All right,
guy.
She would have never had, sex with him. Well, doesn't matter. She's not into him, and she's not having sex with him anyway. So dump him, would you please?
Oh, that's like...
It's sad, I know, because he's a sweet guy.
Do you want to have a kid and then dump him?
Yeah.
Those are your choices.
Nip it before it gets any further.
Okay.
You're not doing him any favors. Hopefully he's listening to the show and has already OD'd.
Oh, yeah. No.
A year into dating somebody and you're not attracted to him and you're hesitant about breaking it off, you want to have somebody that, you know, you have a lifetime of
attraction
to.
You should hear violins every time they walk into the room.
Or the Hallelujah chorus.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's it. When I hear Bruce walk in, I hear a tuba. That's what I hear when Bruce walks.
Nothing to do with your bodily functions.
Maybe that was me. All right. Sarah?
Yeah, hi.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I'm just, like, absolutely terrified of the dark. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Completely.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You got that little girl voice, which always makes me nervous.
You pansy!
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't molested or anything like that. At least I highly doubt that.
Okay. And you're just plain old scared of the dark.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. I don't know why that would be or, like, how I would deal with that.
Well, what do you do when you go to bed at night?
I just go to bed. It's more like being outside.
Oh, outside when it's dark.
Yeah. Even for, like, short periods of time, like, if I'm getting out of my car, like, mm-hmm. to go inside, I'll run up to the door. Because, like, I just have this mm-hmm. feeling there's something, like lurking around in the background.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you tell normal from abnormal in a situation like this? Are you wondering if you're in the far end of normal, or are you convinced you have a very abnormal response?
What do you mean?
Well, what's your basic question? I mean, there's some people that have much more of a fear of the dark or being alone at night or things like that. The way you start to tell, is this really something I need to get therapy for or deal with or change? Do you start having physical symptoms? Do you start sweating or does your heart race or do you...
My heart starts racing.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. And by the way, some people are just a little more skittish than others. It's almost like breeds of dogs. Some dogs fall asleep on the porch, a car backfires, they don't even lift their head up. Other dogs are a little more skittish. So,
right.
So there's a certain degree of that with people. Some people that just have it's almost like their blood's a little slicker, a little thicker and moves a little more slowly.
Right, but if you're seeing patients, you ask yourself, how do you know the difference between somebody that has a real phobia and somebody
right.
that just has an sort of...
Well, let's ask. So you were never traumatized in any way.
I don't think so. I mean,
did you grow up fearful, like... I grew up with my dad wasn't in the house, most of the time. The house was like dark and kind of weird and set back. And it was like a scary house to, live in. Plus I knew my, fat, lazy mom wasn't going to do anything if, the Hillside Strangler decided to make me his next victim. I knew she'd just lock herself in a room and I'd have to fend for myself. So it freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
Were you in a situation where you thought you growing up, like where you thought you were vulnerable?
My parents go out a lot. Like, they're not home most of the time, and so I've been home alone by myself, like, when it's dark, and I live in a, like, place where there's lots of trees, and it's, like, in the middle of nowhere.
All right. Sarah, have you thought about getting help for this? Is it something that's really, really bothered you to the point where, wow, I really need to change this kind of fear that I have?
Like, I want to change that. I don't want to be, like, racing inside.
All right. Well, there's a couple things you can do. One is just not doing it. I mean, you can just train yourself out of this stuff. If you really don't want to run up to your front door after you get out of your car, then tomorrow night, don't do it. Hmm. I know that sounds overly simplistic, but it doesn't seem like she has a seriously deep-rooted problem. It's not like she's a survivor of, you know, some post-traumatic stress disorder. She wasn't raped while jogging in Central Park or anything. You don't have any, you know, real powerful emotional mandate that's making you run for the door. You want to stop? Okay, don't do it. Right. Or jog halfway and stop. And each time get a little bit closer to your car and eventually crawl to the front door.
Right.
Just slow it down.
Yeah. Well, you know, patients that come in with problems.
Or go get some therapy.
Fears. Well, the question is a fear or, a you know, if it's a fetish, is something that you're doing or something that you need to have a certain response causing you to change your activities of daily living, causing you to be late to appointments, mm-hmm. to prevent a normal relationship with someone of the same or opposite sex? Those are the kind of questions you start to ask. Some people just need to be reassured that, you know, what you have is not abnormal. It's just extreme.
17-year-old girl, not that abnormal.
No. But she might want to talk to a therapist and just go over the differences between real phobias, you know, disorders.
All right.
What exactly is...
How about fear of being bored on the radio? All right, buddy. Dr. Bruce here tonight, filling in for Dr. Drew, although no one can fill those big offers. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after
Where's
this.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Bruce, board certified. He knows... he's a better doctor than Drew is. He really is. Drew's, he's all teeth and hair product. You know what I mean? I don't even know if he's really a doctor.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you something. I really mean it. I've known Dr. Drew for 9 years. We argue on occasion, oftentimes even about medical stuff, and I'm right more than half the time with the guy. Now Bruce, on the other hand, is a much better physician.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about
board
that.
Board certified, does the emergency medicine. Here's my point. You go down on your motorcycle, you want Dr. Bruce there, not Dr. Drew there. Although, if you're doing anything else but suffering severe head trauma, you want Dr. Drew there.
That's right.
Socially, I mean, Drew. You know, if you got to travel, Drew's your man.
So thanks for the mixed compliment there. That's great.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Let's talk to Jamie, who's 21. Jamie?
Adam, I love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Aww. Any abuse in the past?
So good to talk to you.
yes, I had two questions. My first was, well, I hope you don't mind, phone screener Brian kind of gave me some advice, but he said you're the expert on female grooming. What, first of all, most importantly, what do you prefer? Mm-hmm. And then what is normal and what is like a total turnoff?
All right. I have gotten into this argument with many a man. I think they misunderstand me, but here's the way I feel. And Bruce, chime in only if you agree, as usual.
Okay.
As per our agreement for the show. First off, let's just we'll go from mild to wild. Yeah, that's good radio. The shaved clean is creepy, I find, and I don't trust. Here's the thing about the shaved clean crew. I don't trust that guy who's into that shaved clean look. It's a little creepy. It's like the guy who's got the video of the, oh, this guy, yeah, we got the Shiite Muslim chopping the guy's head off. I got the video. You want to watch? And so it's like, nah, I don't want to watch that. It's weird. It's unattractive. It's marginally disturbing, and I got enough crap floating around my head. And by the way, just to go off topic a little, all these recent slew of videos of innocent people having their heads ritualistically cut off by these delightful Middle Eastern fellas. And again, we can't judge. It's a wonderful culture.
Right.
It's a wonderful culture.
It's not reflective of the culture,
no,
by the way.
It's not. No. It's a wonderful. It's an exquisite group. It's not the people.
No.
It is not the people.
But you have all people. All the religious extremists are in the same boat. I don't care if they're Muslim or Christian Jewish or whatever.
Some people protest. Others cut heads off. We can't judge.
Some of my best friends are Muslim.
It's a beautiful, exquisite, wonderful religion where occasionally there's some heads being lopped off. But again, we cannot judge.
Right.
You go into crowded squares, you blow yourself up. Cannot judge. Impossible to judge. How can you judge? Every culture is exactly the same. No one better than the other. Some, you know, blow themselves up. No judgment. Some perform genital mutilation. No judging. Cannot judge. Some, they don't let their women show themselves in public, and they can flog them openly. No judging. Mm-hmm. No, they're all beautiful.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's better. It's better than Judaism. It really is. It's better than Christianity. We can't judge, and if we did, we would think it was better. It's fantastic. Anyway, the point is, beautiful, wonderful people cannot judge. I don't want to see the tapes of some of the wonderful folks lopping off the heads of some of the other folks. Maybe the folks that are getting their heads cut off could judge, maybe for just that split second, as the machete is going through the trachea. Maybe at that point they can judge, but they're the only people who can. Only if you're getting head cut off by one of the people of this religion could you judge. We cannot judge.
But, you know, in that culture, they're thinking back to when the Christians were cleansing the world of Muslims. And
can't judge.
It's the crazy people. Judge. They're crazy people out there.
They're wonderful.
Right.
Everyone's the same. Nobody's different.
How did we go from pubic shaving pubes to...
Not going
to
judge. I see the people with the shaved pubes and the guys are into that, and I think that's creepy. Because it makes a 55-year-old chick could look like she was 11 if you shave the pubes. And I think it's weird. Now, Bruce is probably into it. God knows.
Only with its laser hair removal.
God knows he's into it. So, now, where do we go from shaved clean? We go to that just very fine sort of porn star landing strip.
The Brazilian.
Brazilian cut, which is decent. But still looks a little manufactured and has a little porn star to it. What I find the most attractive, and this is what I think we all respond to in nature, which is I want to see something that's well groomed but doesn't scream I've had a bic taken to me or shears taken to me. This is what we respond to. It's like plastic surgery. What's the best plastic surgery? Well, when you can't tell. There's been plastic surgery. You know what I mean? I mean, when you have nice breasts, but they don't look huge and fake. When you've had your nose done, but it doesn't look like you're some whackpot on MTV trying to become Barbie or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would say the same with the pubic hair. Make it look like if you were drawing a naked woman, that's what you would draw in. Little something, nicely coiffed. But don't have it scream, I've been working on this area. Yes, Drew? I mean, yes, Bruce?
Yeah. Well, all I notice is that the people today, men and women, both are dealing with their genitals as if this were the nose on their face, so to speak. Because plastic surgical procedures or whatever kind of procedure, they're trying to make their genitals look good as if they were walking around naked. I mean, vaginal reconstruction and penile enhancement. I mean, you turn on the TV and they're selling who knows what to make things longer and
fatter
or whatever.
Yes.
What's going on?
No, I listen. I don't. Here's okay. Let me explain what's going on. All right, so Jamie, it should look like it should. There was a time for me. This is my personal taste. There was a time when somewhere in the later 70s, early 80s, where there was grooming going on, but it wasn't extreme, and it looked like God just gave him a great vaginal hand. That's what you want. It's just like, here's what I mean. It's like a guy who gets a nice haircut. You don't want to see the stubble and the razor burn on the back of the guy's neck. It should just look like the hair stops. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And you could imagine it just grows that way. When the reality is the barber cleaned up the back of your neck. We just don't need to know about it.
Exactly.
All right. What's going on with the obsession with the genital enlargement, enhancement, and reconstruction, and all that kind of stuff? We've run out of... Here's what's going on as a society. We got too much time, we got too much money, we got too much food. It used to be that we were so busy trying to hunt and get some food. It was all about getting food. This is why animals don't spend time grooming their genitals. They're so busy trying to eat. That's all they can think of. All they can think of is eating and effing. And there was a time we're so worried about either eating ourselves or getting eaten by something else or getting killed in some way that it's all we could think about. Now, food is cheap. Everything is exquisitely cheap. Everything's exquisitely easy. I mean, imagine we're living in a time where you can fly JetBlue from Long Beach to New York for $99. Mm-hmm. Where you can, you want to get a date, get on the internet, find yourself a woman. You want to see some, who's your favorite pop star? You want to see her having sex? Get on the internet. Pam Anderson, Paris Hilton? Go ahead, pop her in there. Oh, yeah, there she is, give an oral.
So
fantastic.
You know, it's not
everything. It's too easy. It's too fast. It's too gratifying. And when that happens, you turn your sight. You focus your sights on your genitalia. You just start going nuts.
It's a moral decline, though, don't you think?
But that's what happened.
Right.
You spend way too much. You have no. There's no threat that's posed to you anymore. This is why, by the way, 9/11 crops up. Again, can't judge. Wonderful people that portrayed that. Wonderful folks. All cultures are the same. 9/11 crops up. People forget about their genitalia for 10 minutes.
Right.
And oh my God, it's all about the fear of being killed, the terrorist attack, the devastation, the tears, the trauma. And then the dust settles, and they clear the wreckage, and they bury the bodies, and now it's back to the genitalia.
Yeah.
And then eventually another tragedy happens, or war breaks up, and we focus up. We lift our heads up, we stop looking at our genitalia for a while, and then we get back down to it.
But I wonder, is pornography influenced some of these trends, or is it just everything falls to the same common denominator that you're talking about?
I think... it's like when the devil makes work for idle hands. You give people too many channels, too much internet, too much food, too cheap, too easy. Everything's too easy. Everything's effortless, and you start monkeying with your junk.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a very slippery slope. Yes, it is.
Indeed.
And again, another culture we can't judge.
What cultures?
I think you used a racial term there.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. He said slippery slope. It's a derogatory term for Asian.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Ciao. Mm-hmm. Ding dong day. Mm-hmm.
And there'll be no judging. Not on this show.
Okay, I thought it was a skiing term or something.
Jessica?
Hi, guys.
You're 25.
Yes, and for another couple of months I will be.
What's happening, baby doll?
Well, I've been in a relationship for about 9 months, and mm-hmm. I see my boyfriend on and off throughout the month because he works up north. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely adore him to death. Great-looking guy. Been listening to you guys for about the half the evening. We have a great relationship and have sex until about 2-3 months into it.
Mm.
The problem is I get bored in the middle of it.
All right. Hold on a second. Speaking of getting bored in the middle, we got to take ourselves a little bit of a break because it's that time again. Yes?
Time flies, yeah.
Yeah.
Break time.
Well, you didn't show up till halfway into the show. That's why it's going by so fast.
Thought I was going to.
Jessica is losing interest halfway into the boinkus. We will take ourselves a little break, and I guarantee we'll solve her problem after this. Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Bruce. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew. Board certified and all that good stuff. Jessica.
Yes.
All right, you've been dating your guy for 9 months, halfway into it. Now, you don't see him all that much because he's out of town.
No, I don't. I see him a couple times a month because he works a lot. A
couple times a month, and then you have sex, and halfway into it, you start getting bored.
Yeah, it's like, start off, I'm good going, hot, heavy. Everything's nice and lubed, and then halfway through, it's like,
Arr! Yeah. It's like when they put the brakes on the train, sparks flying out, metal on metal.
And I catch myself thinking about other things. Not other guys in my head, but like, you know what, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, and...
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a bad sign, especially since, it'd be one thing if you lived with each other, but you've seen the guy a couple times a month, and even then, you get distracted. It's probably not a great sign.
Should we ask how long they were dating before they started having sex?
No, we shouldn't, okay. You idiot. Okay, so Jessica, how about oral sex? How do you like that?
I love it when I get it.
No, he doesn't do it all the time?
It's just getting him into it. I don't think he was ever really trained really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I get off very easily with oral sex, but straight penetration,
yeah. So maybe you would enjoy that, and maybe you should express that to him.
Hmm.
Yeah, how often do you guys talk when you're not seeing each other?
About every other day.
Are you like best friends?
We're really close. We were friends... we were actually acquaintances for a couple of years, and then when I came back, I was actually in the Navy, we started seeing each other and hooked up. We were just trying to figure out, like,
have you been honest with him about what's happening, or are you sort of faking it?
I kind of fake it, because I try... I found men's personalities are very fragile when it comes to sex.
All right. Now here's the thing. You're doing one of these things. This is what constantly happens with women. They're like, I have to fake it because his ego couldn't take it if I didn't fake it. So they start faking it. Meanwhile, they're resenting the guy the whole time they're faking it and getting further and further away from any kind of intimacy or chance of actually having a legitimate non-acted orgasm. The other thing is they're getting angry, they're resenting the guy. The guy doesn't want to change anything because it's like, she has an orgasm every time. He doesn't have a clue. Here's what I mean, and this happens in every relationship. You have to tell the person what you want from them, whether it's in the bedroom or in the car or in the kitchen. Tell them what you want. You can't secretly hope they can read your mind and then seethe and resent them when they're not. She doesn't have an orgasm. She doesn't really like intercourse that much. It's not her thing. But she does like oral sex. Ask him for oral sex.
Right. And rather than communicating with him.
She fakes it and resents him.
Right. And she'll eventually have an affair or dump him.
Tell him you want oral sex. And if he doesn't do it right, then go ahead and give him a little coaching. You know, she said no one ever taught him. Well, maybe it's time he goes to school.
Right.
Powerful. Powerful stuff.
Very
powerful stuff. Mike?
Hey, guys. What's up?
You're 19.
Yeah. Well, that is kind of embarrassing. Tonight at like 10:30, I was masturbating in my room. I live at home, by the way. And my mom walked in, and she saw me masturbating, but she turned around. She was like, I didn't see anything. And ran out, and I don't know if there's anything I can say or do to clean things up with her, you know?
Yeah. What were you doing? I mean, did you have the computer fired up?
The whole deal. I was watching a porno on my computer, and I had the headphones in, which is why I didn't hear a knock. And I jumped up, and it pulled the jack out of the headphones, and the porno music came on, and she could hear it going and stuff.
Wow.
So, there's no. Hey,
what were you doing, beating off, sitting at your chair?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
How do you beat off?
Well,
that could be a long answer. We don't want to.
I'm like a chameleon, by the way. I mean, I can beat off in the chair, in the shower, you know, riding a bike.
Well, I can do all those things too. But I mean, chair's my most comfortable.
Your chair, okay. And
you're the master of beating off, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, here's the thing. Well, first off, your mom's more uncomfortable than you are. I think he's
more uncomfortable than his mom.
His mom ran out saying, "I didn't see anything." Believe me, she's good and freaked out.
Well,
okay. Here's the point. You don't need to broach it either.
No, exactly.
Your mom knows 19-year-old son's beat off,
right?
And this is why it's time to move out of the house. and here's the other thing. I mean, Engineer Chris is 27. He lives at home. His mom catches him beating off between 9 and 26 times a week.
Right.
She literally, surely catches him beating off four.
She's used to it now.
4 or 5 times a day. Yeah. Here's the thing I never really thought about. Now, when you were growing up, Bruce, you didn't have the internet.
No.
We didn't have, there's no VCRs or porn. I mean, nothing in your room. My retard dad had a Betamax player. By the way, you're saying, what is a beta player? Yeah, exactly. What is a beta player? They got phased out in 3 years. He's such an idiot. Anyway, he got one at Radio Shack. I'd probably already moved out of the house by the time that idiot got it. But the point is, if you got popped, you were under your covers with your lights
off in
your room, and you're looking at the bra section of the Sears catalog, or you're like
exactly.
me, you're staring at a raft box with a chick in a bikini floating. That's abuse, by the way. Well, floating in a raft. Okay, now you got the TV fired up. You got a porno in. You're popped. I mean, you're busted. You're cold busted. There's really not much you can do about that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, whilst we did not have good jack material, at least we had our dignity.
That's right.
Very important.
But his comment was, how do I clean this mess up? So, he is feeling like there's something...
Weird tension. Almost
like, weird like
tension.
He did something bad, his mom caught him.
Yeah.
His mom knows guys do this. He should just ignore it. She's not going to be as freaked out as he probably is right now if he just ignores it.
Yeah.
That would be my advice.
Put a lock on that door.
Yeah. Tell him it was your first time. You do what Chris does. You make that pyramid of beer cans in the hallway door. So if you hear it coming, as you hear all the beer cans fall over.
Do you really need the sound for a porno? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, your mistake was putting those headphones on too, brother. Now I've learned to beat off in essentially in space. You know what I mean? You hear nothing.
Yeah,
the beating of your own heart and hand. That's the only thing I hear.
Because
the sound part, you can get popped easily. You don't hear people coming down the hall. The other thing is, a lot of guys are into the audible part of the porn. For me, not a big factor. It helps. I don't mind it. It, you know, might add 5-10% to the experience. But a lot of guys are really into it. And watching a silent porn is like eating a, you know, dietetic ice cream or something. It's just nothing there.
Ah. Well, doctors, of course, don't do things like that. But, of course,
it
helps me to advise my patients, getting advice from you on masturbatory activities.
That's right. All right. Let's take a little break. What do you say? Yes?
Yeah. And when we come back, Uncle molested her as a baby.
Fantastic. All after this. Hey, everybody. There you go. That's you there, everybody. Boy. What do you say about that? Yeah. Yeah, poor Amber over here got molested by uncle as a baby. I don't even know how you know you were molested as a baby. Unfortunately, we're about out of time, and the phone ain't punching up anyway. I just want to give her my stupid condolences. Anderson.
I think Brian's already powered down.
Oh, okay. Brian,
well, Amber, you need to see a good gynecologist. And I've had babies come in with gonorrhea 6 weeks old in the ER. So.
Oh, really?
Terrible, terrible things.
Oh, well, unfortunately, we can't judge. So if you want to have sex with a four-month-old, again, everyone's the same. Everyone's perfect. We're all God's creatures.
And we hope there's a God to extract a horrible,
Can't judge. Hey, especially if that's part of your culture.
It's not part of any culture.
It's all the same. All right, Dr. Bruce, a yeoman's job of filling in for Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
Yeah. Soon you'll lose that Dr. Spaz moniker. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
How do you beat off?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.